All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now at the touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
Well, here's a problem. Getting a good shave can be a real pain in the ass. You know how it is. You got all these razors, right? You don't know, is it the three blade or the four blade? Did I have power? Did I not have power? Is it vibrating? Should it not vibrate? Who wants to work that hard? Listen, join our society of smarter men. This is what you do. You go to dollarshaveclub.com/Alonzo and you get high quality razors delivered to your door for just a couple of bucks a month. They made it simple. High quality razors, 100% guaranteed, sent on schedule, so you never have to think about it again. Every month, you get a new pack. Every week, you change your blade. Can't make it easier than that. DollarShaveClub.com has made it easy to get a good shave. Look, it feels fantastic. Now think about this the next time you're at the store and you're looking at a pack of razors and trying to remember, did I have power? You don't need to know all that. This is what you do. You go to dollarshaveclub.com/Alonzo. You get great razors delivered to your door. You save money and you shave well. dollarshaveclub.com/Alonzo. Thank you. Welcome to Who's Paying Attention, episode 42. I am your host, Alonzo Bowden. We are back with a new show. I guess we get right into it, right? That's what we do here. I say we as if it's interactive. Maybe one day I'll get a guest on here, so it will be we. But anyway, I'll get right into it. So, obviously, the big story is the Boston Bombers. Very, very sad, obviously. Innocent people died. Lingzi Liu, Crystal Campbell, of course, the 8-year-old Martin Richard, and the MIT officer Sean Collier. It's really sad that they died for no reason. Just another, you know, terrorist act, bombing, innocent people dead, routine. And I say it's routine because sadly, it almost is. But the way this played out, first of all, I just want to say the Boston police, especially those guys who were going like door to door looking for the bombers and knowing that houses might be booby trapped or looking for other bombs or IEDs. I mean, that's brave. That those guys, wow, what a job they did. You know, it was interesting, Barack Obama, when he gave his speech about it, said we were going to put the full weight of the United States into finding who did this. And they found him 3 days later, right? Because that's one thing. If the full weight of the United States, when we come together as a nation to do something, we still get shit done. And these guys were going to get caught from the moment those bombs exploded. So kudos to all the law enforcement and investigative and all the people who were involved in really doing something with this. Tiberian, Charnev, and I know I'm saying this wrong, Zokar, Charnev, you know, fuck them. One dead, the other wounded with a shot in the throat. He'll be questioned, he'll be tried. The United States got him, you know, and again, I say kudos to all law enforcement people involved, everyone involved in getting this case solved and done. To the media, just, you should be ashamed of yourselves. The the press coverage, the lack of coverage, the creating news where there's no events, the sensationalism, just absolutely horrible. And now the talking heads are going on and on, and still nothing to say. I don't even know who's the worst. You know, of course, the New York Post, but is the New York Post ever really news, or is it just a tabloid? So the day of the bombing, they said 12 were dead. There were actually only 3 dead. They said a Saudi Arabian suspect was arrested. Then it was 2 people were carrying bombs, and it was just pictures of 2 people in the crowd. But again, it's the Post, so you can't really hold that to the standard of news. CNN, horrible. Well, it's CNN, a dark-skinned suspect has been arrested. No, it's not true. And now this whole... See, they started out, this had to be a terrorist act, and it had to be done by Muslims, you know, Islamic, Arabic Muslims, you know, dark skin, dark hair, blah, blah, blah. Listen, sadly, this was done, and sadly, the agenda is there, but you know what? These 2 guys were white Americans, Chechnyan, Russian, whatever you want to call it. I mean, one brother a naturalized citizen, the other one on his way to citizenship. And I'm not making this about race. I'm not saying that, you know, white people are evil. I'm saying that the news should report the news rather than try to create the news to fit a certain agenda. Obviously, since 9/11, before 9/11, but definitely since 9/11, we're all guilty of being suspicious of Muslims, and whenever there's a terrorist act, that's our first thought. But to report that as news, totally unsubstantiated, just to feed into people's fears, is horrible. When Twitter becomes a news source without any verification, see, it's one thing if somebody tweets something and someone retweets it and it grows. But if you're in CNN... verify the story. That's your job. And now, you know, they're going to Russia, and who did they talk to, and was this religious, and blah, blah, blah. Look, I don't know if there'll ever be any answers, and if there is a truth, I don't know if we'll hear it. My personal opinion, for what it's worth, is it's a horrible event, and it's these 2 kids, obviously with a lot of misplaced anger, you know, saying they couldn't make friends with Americans, going online to these terrorist and bomb-making websites, having some sort of fantasies, delusions of grandeur, and bottom line, killing innocent people. And you know, that's never going to get the result. Their family, when their uncle was on TV, you know, and he's like, look, I don't know these guys. The uncle lives in Maryland, and he knew them when they were kids. And, you know, he's not the story. It's there probably is a why, and there are people who are, you know, researching and investigating that and this and that. But unfortunately, our news media isn't it. Our news media is investigating how to get higher ratings, how to come up with the more fantastic story, you know, than the next news channel, and they all got it wrong. CNN, Fox, MSNBC, all just erroneous information or going on for hours and literally days with no real information, just talking and never saying, you know, there's nothing new. Like, this is what we know, and unfortunately, that would be okay as a news story to me. Have the anchor say, look, this is what we know, and tell us what we know of the investigation at that moment, and we have no further news, but we'll report it as soon as we get it. You know, then stop making stuff up. But I guess making stuff up pays, so that's what you do. Another tragedy last week, the fertilizer explosion in Texas. You know, 14 dead and 200 wounded. Horrible. It was sad, but wasn't news because there wasn't a terrorist involved. And I'm sorry, Fox, you couldn't even blame Obama on this. What kind of country we live in where there's an explosion and you can't blame Obama? Damn it. Ugh. It was terrible, and it's sad, obviously tragic to all families involved. But I'm not discounting the personal tragedy. I'm saying the bigger tragedy is our news coverage, or lack of news coverage, because we just don't have any. We just don't have a Walter Cronkite or an Edward Murrow or any reporter that you can look at on the news and say, you know something, this guy's out to tell the truth, this woman's out to tell the truth, they're not in it for the ratings. Okay, let's get back to, I was talking about Texas, and maybe you live in Texas, maybe you're going to vote in Texas, maybe you're going to vote for Steve Stockman, a conservative pro-life a Republican congressman whose bumper sticker says if babies had guns, they wouldn't be aborted. I wish it were a joke. I wish that bumper sticker was in The Onion as satire, but that is his actual campaign bumper sticker. If babies had guns, they wouldn't be aborted, because I am pro-life. And what are guns used for? To take life away. Hey, enough of that. You've probably been reading books. Oh. Good luck there, Texas. I don't even know what to tell you. And on the topic of abortion, because this is interesting. Have you heard of Kermit Gosnell? A lot of people haven't. This is a trial in Pennsylvania. This abortion doctor, and I think that was just his job. This is some crazed serial killer. Stories of beheadings and infant feet being saved in jars and a baby delivered alive during an abortion. And this has been going on for years. Cutting the spinal cords. I mean, this guy is obviously horrible, and this has nothing to do with abortion. This is a sick, serial killing, mass murderer. But the story is that it's not a story, because so many people, big papers are not covering it, saying it's more of a local thing. I don't think it is. I think it's a horrible story, but man, you know something? I'm sorry. I forgot I'm supposed to be doing comedy. I keep touching on all these horrible things. It's a state of mankind, I guess. I don't know. But I think this story should have gotten more coverage, but not as an abortion story, but more as a person who used their title and access to perform horrible acts. I think that's the case. Listen, I'm gonna get away from this. I'm gonna go to something. How about something I experienced? I went to a town called Rosebud, South Dakota. There was a casino there. I did a show at the casino, stayed at the beautiful Quality Inn attached to the casino, and went and had lunch in downtown Valentine, Nebraska, population either 1,400 or 2,400. Rosebud was even smaller. Rosebud is a Native American reservation that has a casino in South Dakota, and I love when I see places like that, because it reminds me of how diverse the United States of America is. Now think of me. I live in LA and now I'm in Rosebud. There was a woman joking in the show asking me to move to her little town of Arthur, population 140. I have more people than that live in the complex I live in. That's 140? That's a town? So God bless them. The casino was what it was. It was a fun gig. Does that mean my career is moving up or moving down? I don't know, but here's my thing. The tar sands. The tar sands in South Dakota. Let me tell you something. If you have ever seen the land that Native Americans were given, I mean, it was literally like these reservations. They basically looked around and said, all right, what land can never be used at all? This land can't grow anything. this land, it doesn't have any water, it's not near anything. Yeah, we'll give that to the Native Americans. Well, guess what? They found oil. First they found gambling, now they found oil. So here they go. They're taking on the Lakota Nation and various other Native groups to get a hold of these tar sands. Unbelievable. Hey, good luck to the Natives. I hope that they battle this. They want to stop it on the grounds of, you know, their love of land, sacred burial grounds, their heritage, their history. And we all know that they're going to lose. All right, we all know that they're going to lose. This land is going to be raped for the oil in the sand, however they do it. And it's, this tar sand thing is a terrible thing. But we know it's going to be done because it's oil there, damn it. But man, as a group of people, as a race, how bad is your luck? I mean, what else can they do to these people? What else can they do to them? I shouldn't say that because they'll try to find something else to do to them. So, whew. It was my first time in South Dakota, so I can cross that off the list. The only one left for me to go to is North Dakota. I got a feeling it ain't a whole lot different than South Dakota. Maybe I'll look up why they separated. What the hell was going on there? But good luck. I got nothing on that, man. I was in Rosebud, South Dakota. Johnny Cash wrote that song, I've Been Everywhere. I never thought it would be my life's theme, but I guess that's the case. So, I'm a traveling man, and we have been sequestered, America, and it's about to kick in. They are furloughing air traffic controllers. Air traffic controllers will have to take off one day per pay period. They're predicting delays of an hour to 2 hours in major airports like O'Hare or JFK or Atlanta or Denver. My question, how are we going to know? Really? Airline service is going to be worse compared to what? Have you flown lately? Yeah, your flight's delayed, but they schedule it almost to be delayed. Listen, you know what your flight being on time means? It means it pulled back from the gate on time, meaning they pushed it back 10 feet and then you wait. But that flight left on time because technically it left the gate on time. So this sequester's kicking ass because I still don't know, like, when have I been sequestered? I want to know when I've been sequestered. There should be a sign that this flight delay brought to you by the sequester. Whatever else they're going to take, your child's school has two more kids in class, each class, because of the sequester. You know, just tell me, you know what story I want to hear? Your congressman has not been paid because of the sequester. Let's hear that story. That would be a great one. So, airlines are going through that, but here's, you want a good airline story? You want something you can smile about? Okay. We know that American Airlines has, you know, done another big merger, right? So that there's a new, and this is how this works, okay? US Air and American combine. So they form a new company called AMR Airways or whatever. And the former CEO, Tom Horton, who's leaving American Airlines, supposed to leave with a $19 million cash and stock severance package. Yeah. A $19.9 million, basically $20 million in cash and stock as he leaves the bankrupt company. And you know what? A judge, Judge Sean Lane, said no. Sean Lane said that exceeds the limits Congress set for bankruptcy cases in 2005. The limits were meant to conserve excessive payments to top executives at bankrupt companies. So no. And the judge said, listen, don't try that. Oh, American Airlines is bankrupt and this AMR Air is a brand new company. You know it's still American Airlines. We know it's still American Airlines. And you are not walking away with $20 million. That's great. He should walk away with nothing. That money should be given to all the employees that have been furloughed or taken pay cuts. The baggage handlers and the mechanics and the flight attendants and so on. But yeah, kudos to a judge for actually administering justice We don't hear about it too long, but we can celebrate that one. So I'm thinking, man, the airline's going to be late. Maybe I'll drive. Well, not if you live in LA, because once again, my city, Los Angeles, has the worst traffic in America. I know about this. I'm lucky. I don't have to always have to commute during normal business hours, but it's bad out there. So in 2012, the average LA driver spent 59 hours in traffic. Do you understand how many phone calls that is? I mean, that's why you have to have an unlimited calling plan if you're going to drive in LA, because 59 hours a year, that's a lot of calls. That's a lot of texts. That's a lot of tweets. You're getting your hair done in the car. We're busy when we're in our cars. We're doing everything but driving. You know why? Because traffic ain't moving. Because we're sitting there. 4 out of the 10 worst highways in America as far as congestion are in LA. The 405 North, the 405 South. And I don't know how you count the north and south side of the same freeway as two different highways congested. But yeah, the 5 South. I've been stuck on all of them. Oh yeah, I've sat in traffic, but 59 hours a year, that's almost a job. Now, the good side, the only good news to come out of this is the experts who study these things say, well, you spend more time in traffic because more people in LA are working. So I guess that's good, but that's right. New York, Chicago, Atlanta, you challenge us. No one sits in traffic like we do in LA, and no one's as good at it. You sitting on an iPhone? We're sitting on an iPad. Let me tell you something. You can actually get your phone activated while you're sitting in your car in traffic. That's right, New York. They're selling the newspaper while you're waiting to get across a bridge. I've been there. I've seen it. In LA, what do you want to buy? Because we sell it all at the freeways. Oranges, flowers, electronic goods. Get the car washed. Hell, they'll change the tires. Probably get a pit crew because it's on the freeway and it ain't moving. I love my town. And speaking of LA, the NBA playoffs are underway. Go Clippers. That's right. I'm a Clipper fan. You know it. I know it. I love the Clippers. The Clippers are going to beat Memphis in the first round. They ain't going to beat Oklahoma City in the second round. How bad is your luck that you have to take on Oklahoma City in the second round? I'm a root for them. I'm pulling for them. I may even get to a game, but, that's an uphill battle. The Knicks are looking great against Boston. Miami's looking at I picked them to win it all. Come on, LeBron's the best basketball player on earth. He's going to dominate it. Sorry about Kobe's Achilles being torn. Can't imagine how painful that is. Probably as painful as playing for the Lakers right now, who will be knocked out by the Spurs real quick. So that's my quick sports update. Hey, you know, when people like, when do you study all this? How do you know this stuff? You just sit around and read. I'm in LA traffic. There's nothing else to do. I'm kidding. I don't actually read in traffic. Scariest thing I ever saw. I ride motorcycles, as you all know. I rode past somebody who had their iPad on the steering wheel while they were driving. That scared me. There was a way to set off that airbag and smack them with their own iPad, I would have done it. But that's what it's like out there. How am I doing? A lot of you are nice enough to ask. You're still asking for kidney updates. It's been a month. I'm good. I'm fine. I have no knowledgeable physical effects. I can't work out yet. The doctors want me to give that another week. But I'm back on the motorcycle and I can drive and I'm still funny. I was worried about that one. Worried about losing the funny kidney. Didn't lose that. So everything is okay. Everything's good. And my brother's back to work. So my other kidney is working. I got two kidneys working in two different cities. How about that? How's that for working? I'm working here. My other kidney's hard at work back in Connecticut. I love it. Thanks to the doctors and everybody involved and getting that done. And I'm going to close by saying goodbye to one of the great ones. We lost a comic since my last podcast. Rest in peace, Jonathan Winters. All of the Jonathan Winters. All of those great voices and characters you created and the billion laughs you gave, man, those old comics, those old masters, and he was one of them, were great. So we're sorry to see you go, but Jonathan Winters lived 87 years and probably made people laugh for 86 of them, definitely for 85 of them, because I know he was talking by the time he was 2 years old. So we're going to miss him. I'm going to miss you guys, but you keep paying attention. You keep laughing. I have live dates coming up. This weekend, I will be at the Laugh Factory, my home club, Long Beach and Hollywood, on Saturday night. And next week, there'll be more shows coming up. I'm still heading to Carlsbad on May 11th, and I will be in Vegas May 13th through 19th at the Brad Garrett Comedy Club in the MGM Grand. So thank you. Please tell a friend about me. Please get on my Facebook page. I'm trying to develop more followers on that. Check out my Facebook fan page. I love you. I promise this podcast will get funnier. But man, it was a heavy week. What do you want from me? I don't make the news. I'm not the New York Post. Take care of yourselves. Thanks for listening. Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.